Section 12 of The Testament of Beauty by Robert Bridges. This Legimus recording may be freely used and adapted as long as Legimus and the reader are credited. Book 3, Breed, Part 5. Now woman took her jointure from the potency of spirit stored in flesh. The like, a find to her sex, became the property of intuition and grew in her, through mutual adaptation with the environments that were its own effects, to a female character, in worth alike and weakness, distinct from the male. For while man's reason drew him, with the science led, to walk with downcast eyes fixed on the ground, and low incline his ear to catch the sermon whisper of stones, whence now whole nations, by their treasure trove enriched, crawl greedily on their knees, nosing the soil like swine, and any, if they can twist their stiffened necks about, see the stars but as stones. While men thus searched the earth, stooping to pick up wisdom, women stood erect in honest human posture, from light's fount to drink celestial influences. And this was seen in them that worshipped Christ, nor looked, as then the apostles did, for some earthly prosperity or prospect, nor asked what chief seats might be theirs reserved in the kingdom. His heavenly call drew him, and the Mary who sat at Christ's feet in devotion, heard from him her choice pronounced the one thing needful. And as 'twas for her, so is it now a day for us, to our happiness. For 'tis by such faith only a man can save his soul, since, as his unique spirit cometh more and more out of slumber into vision, he loseth heart the more at the inhumanity of nature's omnipotence. That first savage suspicion is now the last despair of earnest thinkers, who, for love of truth, refuse to blink dishonestly the tribulation of man, but deem it final truth, and see no cure thereof, nor solace, save what brave distraction of thought may bring, in further keen pursuit of knowledge, on the old path that hath hereby led them where the everlasting worm eateth their hearts. And yet man's reason, as is confessed, since 'tis of nature's fabric, must share in her fault, and man's spiritual sense, which inspireth his grief, is equally of her giving, whence his complaint showeth the strange perversity of creation's self-reproach. Though nature the while is by beauty awakening her heavenly response to her heavenliest desire, and in spiritual joy sanctioneth to the full the claim of faith. To such despairers Christ outspake in his rich poetry, 'tis better with one eye blinded to enter into the life of God's realm than with both eyes to grieve in hell. Be that not truth, then there is something found for man better than truth, which thought were the supreme vanity of vanities, at once a superhuman ambition and a poor pride, truly the last infirmity of his noble mind. From blind animal passion to the vision of spirit, all actual gradations come of nature, and each, severally in time and place, is answerable in man. As with the embryo, which in normal growth passeth through evolutionary stages, at each stage consisting with itself agreeably, so mind may be by observation in young changes waylaid, agreeable all, though no more congruous with themselves than what a baby thinketh of its naked feet when first it is aware of them, is like the thought of piteous sympathy with which, when an old man, he will come to regard them. So likewise of breed, youth and age hold their irreconcilable extremes, from him who deemeth sex to be the curse of man, to him who findeth in it the only pleasure of life. Then the four temperaments of blood possess of kind their different sensibilities, and every bias of education coloureth, while in abstract thought some would submit its energy to rule of state, to ethic duty some, others to personal health, to social propriety, or the grace of good manners. Climate can subjugate, and religion constrain. National tastes prescribe, practice, and fix ideals. Yet how so no two men will be found wholly alike, nor any one man always consonant in himself? The saint will have his days of humiliation and trial, the clown his rare moments of revelation and peace, while common sense will waver in its faith with fortune. Now, as a physical object apparent to sense must in all its perspectives be studied, though none be true wholly in itself, and reality is found by elimination of error, so it will be with love, which, if it had no various aspects of feeling, nor delusive perspectives to spiritual sight, neither could it have any essential property in the wisdom of God. Thus men, who mostly live in the light of one aspect, and convinced thereby, will deem of love differently, and so in as many ways as there be planes of spirit and faculties of mind. And the philosopher expecteth little audience of men schooled to the habit of their own liking, and were he heaven-inspired, he should not, therefore, look to win the general ear. Yet, one proviso allowed, he may command agreement. So, saith he, if there be any one scheme of reason in the evolution of mind preferable and probable, and without so much faith he would sit dumb, then that idea will be found in few, not in many, but potential in them, and in the best imperfect, a desire of all, an everlasting hope not everlastingly to be rebuffed and baffled, rather preordained by arch creative wisdom, as man groweth to find his will in God's pleasure, his pleasure in God's will, drawn to that happiness by the irresistible predominant attraction, which worketh secure in mankind's love of beauty, and in the beauty of truth. Art is the true and happy science of the soul, exploring nature for spiritual influences, as doth physical science for comforting powers, advancing so to a sure knowledge with like progress. But lovers who thereto look for expression of truth have great need to remember that no plastic art, though it create ideals noble, as are the forms that Phidias wrought, can ever elude or wholly escape its earthly medium, nor in its adumbrations reach that detached suprasensuous vision whereto poetry and music soar, nor dive down in the mine where cold philosophy diggeth her fiery jewels, or only by rare magic may it sometimes escape. And this was the intuition of our landscape painters, whose venture seemed humbled in renouncing the prize of the classic contest, when, like truants from school, they made off to the fields with their satchels, and came on nature's beauteous bypaths into a purer air. For the art of painting, by triumph of colouring enticed to realism, had confounded thereby its own higher intention, and in portrayal of spirit made way for symbolism, which, though it stand aloof, is outfaced in the presence of direct feeling. Sit hence, in presentation of feminine beauty, the highest art lost mastery of its old ideal, as in the great picture of the two women at a well, where Titian's young genius, devising a new thing, employed the plastic power to exhibit at once two diverse essences in their value and contrast. For while by the aesthetic idealization of form his earthly love approacheth to celestial grace, his draped Uranian figure is by symbols veiled, and in pictorial beauty suffereth defeat. Yea, despite all her impregnable confidence in the truth of her wisdom, as there she sitteth beside the fountain, dazzlingly apparelled, enthroned, with thoughtful face impassive, averting her head as 'twere for fuller attention, so as to incline an ear to the impartial hearing of the importunate plea of the other, who over against her on the cornice plinth, posturing her wonted nakedness in sensuous ease, leaneth her body towards her, and with imploring grace urgeth the vain deprecation of her mortal prayer. Giorgione, his master, already had gone to death, plague-stricken at a prime, when Titian painted that picture, donning his rival's mantle, and strode to higher fame, yet not by this canvas. He who had it, hid it, nor won it public favour when it came to light, until some mystic named it, in the Italian tongue, l'amor sacro e profano, and so rightly divined. For though there is no record, save the work of the brush, to tell the intention, yet what the mind wrought is there. And who looketh thereon may see, in the two left arms, the symbolism apportioning the main design. For while the naked figure, with extended arm and outspread palm, vauntingly balanceth aloft a little lamp, whose flame, lost in the bright daylight, wasteth in the air, that other hath the arm bent down and oppositely nerved, and clencheth with gloved hand closely the covered vessel of her secret fire. Thus Titian hath pictured the main sense of my text, and this truth, that as beauty is all with spirit twined, so all obscenity is akin to the ugliness which art would outlaw, whence cometh that tinsel honour and mimicry of beauty which is the attire of vice. Allegory as a cloudland inviting fancy to lend significance to chancy shapes. And here I deem not that the child, who playeth between the loves at Titian's well, was pictured by him with purpose to show the first contact of love with boyhood's mind. And yet never was symbol more deftly devised. Mark how the child, looking down on the water, seeth only a reflection of the realities, as 'twas with the mortals in Plato's cave, nor more of them than Moses saw of God. He can see but their backs, save for a shifty glimpse of the pleading profile of earthly love, which also is subtle truth. And most how in his play his plunged hand stirreth to and fro both images together in a confused dazzle of the dancing ripples as he gazeth intent. End of section 12. End of book 3. Breed.